Topic 11, Prayer as an Instrument of Light and Life. Thus far in the course, we've been focusing on flourishing, and particularly how to flourish through the difficult challenges of personality and culture, crises in life. And today, and for the remainder of these talks, we're going to be focusing on specific tools that are available to us, spiritual resources, to help us to flourish, to help us to become the men and women that God truly intends us to be. These tools will include things such as prayer, which we will talk about now, spiritual direction and counseling, and other resources that we can benefit from by the discipline of practice in our daily lives. Let's begin this talk on prayer with an exercise. The exercise is called the light stream exercise. I'd like you to close your eyes if you can. Scan your body from your head to your toes. Notice any area where there may be tension or tightness from a present or past hurt. Maybe painful memory or experience that you bear in your body. Pick the one where the tension is most vivid. What is its shape or color? Is it warm or cold? Now think of your favorite color of light. Allow a beam of that light to flow softly to that area needing release or healing. It's gently touching and breaking up that area. The light is gently moving through you from your head to your toes. When you feel comfortable, count to three and gently open your eyes. The point of the exercise is to allow us to be in touch a little bit more with how hurts, past hurts and present concerns, are sometimes, if not often, stored in our body. And that prayer is not simply a conceptual practice, but it is an exercise of allowing the Spirit of God, the light, the healing Spirit of God, to touch not only our minds and our thoughts, but also our bodies. Visualization, such as this light stream exercise, can be very effective in prayer. It's very simple, and it's something that we can practice on a daily basis. Some other simple practices which may be used as preparation for prayer, we draw from the Eastern tradition in the tradition of Qigong. Qigong breathing exercises. I'd like to talk about three exercises that I think are helpful. They certainly have been helpful to me. The first is natural breathing. This is the beginner's breath. Rather than trying actively to control your breathing, you simply observe and feel its rhythmic rise and fall in the abdomen. Emotional calm and mental quietude are prerequisites for this, and all other types of regulated breathing, because emotions and thoughts often have a disruptive impact on rhythmic breathing patterns. Simply observing your breathing can be an effective tool of slowing down. Another kind of breathing exercise is called normal abdominal breathing. This is the primary breath in Qigong and meditation, performed slowly, deeply, and deliberately with the diaphragm, letting the abdomen expand on inhalation and contract on exhalation. It massages the internal organs and glands, tones the abdominal muscles, draws energy into the lower elixir field, and promotes the conversion of original hormone essence into cool, restorative water energy. Normal abdominal breathing. The third breathing technique is called the palm and soul, or qi. Soul is another word for qi, or spirit, breathing. In this mode of breathing, you feel and visualize qi entering and exiting from the vital energy points located in the middle of the palms or soles as you breathe. The palm point is called the labor palace, and the sole point is the bubbling spring. These are powerful points, and it usually does not take long for beginners to be able to feel qi flowing through them. The feeling is somewhat akin to a valve or flap opening and closing at the beginning of inhalation and the end of exhalation. This is a good way to expel excess heat from the body and to absorb fresh qi from the environment. It may be practiced standing or sitting still, as well as during moving exercises. Palm and soul breathing. These exercises are intended as preparations for prayer. Armin Nigro, a Jesuit from the Oregon province at Gonzaga University, many years ago, came up with what he calls the five P's as friendly reminders in preparation for prayer. The first P, preview. Pick one passage from Scripture in advance and have it marked and ready for prayer. In daily preparation, prepare the night before so that your mind and fantasy prior to sleep has this to contemplate. Preview. The second P is presence. Acknowledge in some short or extended way that you live and move and have your being in God's presence. Express the desire or belief that you want to know God, present to you in this time and place. Blessings may help. Using the same prayer at the end of this time period also helps tie things together. For example, people frequently find the sign of the cross helpful to remind ourselves of the presence of God to us at the beginning of prayer and at the end of the period of prayer. The third P is place. Pick an appropriate place where you are alone, less distracted, uninhibited in responding to God's presence. You know, it's very important. In psychology, we talk about stimulus control. It's very important to have a particular place in our house, a prayer corner, a place where we reserve the energy and the space for prayer, not for work or recreation, but for prayer. And that helps us often to focus when we get into that place. The fourth P is posture. Choose one that is comfortable, relaxing, and peaceful. For example, many mystics and saints chose different ways of praying, lying on a bed, kneeling, sitting comfortably, walking, etc. Choose what is best for your body to be harmonious and centered with the environment and the spirit. And finally, P, passage. Take the passage from Scripture and read it very slowly. Remember, it's not important to get through all of it, but simply to let your eyes rest on the word or phrase or image that feeds your soul. Read it very slowly. Listen carefully. Be with it peacefully. Reread it if you find yourself distracted. These five P's for hints for prayer, again, are useful tools in preparing for prayer. There are, of course, many different kinds of prayer. One that has been useful in the church tradition since the time of Saint Benedict is the prayer known as Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina consists of four movements in prayer. Lectio, meaning word. Meditatio, to meditate, to chew on scripture, as it were. Oratio, the begging prayer. And contemplatio, putting oneself in the place of God and just enjoying the presence of God, allowing oneself to be absorbed by that presence. Let's look at each one of those movements. Lectio, prayer. Lectio is taking some word of God. It could be a word in Scripture. It could be the image of Jesus. It could be a tradition or a ritual. It could be something in creation, a book, a play, poetry, a film. Could be some event in the world. It could be some event in your own life story, something perhaps speaking the word of God here and now in the very event of your life. Whatever the word is, allow the word, the Lectio, to inform you. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, the word of God goes forth and achieves what God intends it to do. Let that word inform who you are. There are multiple examples in Scripture that can be used for Lectio prayer. To take any number of parable or healing stories. Or to look at personal examples of acceptance or forgiveness. Perhaps a time that we expected rejection and instead found forgiveness. Or an example of the holy men and women. Stories of the saints. Examples, living examples of holiness. To take this as Lectio prayer, to read it slowly in a way that helps to transform us, to inform us. The second movement in prayer in Lectio Divina is called meditatio, meditation, chewing on scripture, if you will, trying to find myself in a scene, taking a story from the gospel, and seeing how this story matches with my own story. This meditatio prayer often has the effect of reforming the way I see myself and my life. I apply my imagination, my memory, my understanding to receive this new light and to focus on Christ laboring for me in the world. By putting myself in the scene, I personalize what is happening in the scene. Sometimes people engage meditatio by dialoguing with God, or writing a letter to God, or using some other kind of imagery exercise to engage Jesus, or the Father, or the Holy Spirit in one or another passage from Scripture. Meditatio. The third movement in prayer is oratio. This is the begging prayer. The scene in Scripture, Luke 22:39-46, where Jesus is praying in the garden with blood, sweat, and tears. He is trying to conform his own will to that of the Father. And this is the movement of oratio prayer, when we are conformed, when our deepest desires are made one with God's own desire for us. In Ignatian discernment, people frequently wonder, how do I know that I'm doing God's will? And the answer is simple, but not easy. God's will, says St. Ignatius, is my truest desire. But of course, my truest desire is not always so obvious to me. Oratio prayer is trying to get in touch with that truest desire, just the way Jesus did in the garden, Recall, his desire initially in the prayer, in the oratio, is, let this cup pass. Don't let me go to death. And in the course of the prayer, he arrives at a different desire, which is, Father, thy will be done. And so, too, we are invited in oratio to allow the Holy Spirit to convert our hearts, to find our deepest, truest desires, which are so often, if not always, consistent with the desire of God for us. The fourth movement in prayer is contemplatio. John 15, verses 9 to 10. Remain in my love. Contemplatio prayer is being absorbed with God, being transformed, as it were, where we know that we are loved. We entrust our lives to God, and we live out of that love. Contemplatio prayer is a being prayer, where our daily actions flow out of the love that we know with God. It's not trying to achieve any new insight, not trying to achieve any new initiative. It's simply being, remaining in His love, sustaining a union and a healthy relationship with God. Sometimes people wear symbols to remind us of this relationship. A ring or a cross, a scapular, carry a rosary, or use certain sayings or slogans as concrete reminders of the presence that we enjoy in contemplatio prayer of the loving God who is with us, loving us at every moment of our day. The general examen is a practice of prayer that Ignatius offers, inviting us on a daily basis to become more aware of the presence of God in our lives. It's a gratitude prayer, if you will. And allow me to take you through the five essential steps in practicing the examen. The first is to take a few moments to simply become aware, like putting the antennae up and becoming aware of God's presence, a simple awareness. Secondly, to invite the aid of the Holy Spirit to enlighten oneself about God's presence this day or this morning, this afternoon, whatever the time period may be in a given day. Thirdly, to review and savor the moments of grace in that day. To seek forgiveness, perhaps, for the blindness or ingratitude that I may have experienced. And fifthly, to rededicate ourselves to God out of gratitude. It's a gratitude prayer, this general examen. Simply taking 10 minutes a day to be grateful. And you will find, if you practice this examen, that your awareness of God and the gratitude, that core virtue that seems so central to flourishing, will indeed increase in your life. There is another kind of examen, and this examen is called the particular examen. It's trying to pay attention to a specific grace or unfreedom that may be in our lives at a given moment. This particular examen is intended to track more closely the ways in which we are in need of conversion. It's beyond the general examen, gratitude awareness, and more focused on, what is it in my life that needs transformation, that needs healing, that I need to stay with, perhaps for a period of time, day by day, until the action of the Holy Spirit moves into my life and heals and converts me? This is the exercise of the particular examine. Begin by making a list. I would say aim for about 5 items. If more readily suggest themselves, by all means, jot them down, but try to get at least 5. List the things that you feel are dying in your life, the things you feel diminishing, becoming less important, receding, separating, the things you are losing interest in, letting go of, that things that seem just about over. Perhaps you once enjoyed gardening, but are beginning to find it drudgery. Perhaps a friendship, a job, a marriage appears to be coming to an end. Perhaps an old attitude or feeling is changing, a belief or a resentment. Concentrate on things that seem passing, but are not completely past. When you have finished this, begin a second list of 5 or so items, this time of the things that are coming into being, things that are not fully a part of your life, but which are rising, emerging, returning, becoming more important, more desirable, more frequent. A newly made friend, an interest in praying every day, a waxing desire to travel. These could be some examples of new life and direction. Now try to be as concrete as possible as you create these 2 lists. When you have completed them to your satisfaction, read them over slowly and carefully pick from each list the 1 item which seems most significant or interesting to you. Let each of these 2 items become the subject of a paragraph or page of writing. Tell the story of that which is waxing or waning, your feeling about it, anxieties, anticipations, expectations. Try to let your perceptions and feelings flow freely till they come to a natural conclusion. What is helping or hindering the passing of the old and the birthing of the new? What does this suggest to you? If you have the time to devote to it, you may want to follow this process for other items on your list. Is there a connection between the passing of some items and the emergence of others? Write about this relationship. In his book, A Path with Heart, Jack Kornfield offers a meditation on loving kindness. And I'd like to conclude this talk with this meditation. Sit in a comfortable fashion. Let your body relax and be at rest. As best you can, let your mind be quiet, letting go of plans and preoccupations. Then begin to recite inwardly the following phrases directed to yourself. You begin with yourself, because without loving yourself, it is almost impossible to love others. And here are the phrases. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. As you say the phrases, you may also wish to use the image from the Buddha instructions. Picture yourself as a young and beloved child, or sense yourself as you are now, held in the heart of loving kindness. Repeat these phrases again and again, letting the feelings permeate your body and your mind. These are some simple suggestions, exercises, and prayers to help you to move toward the fulfilling and flourishing life in the spirit.